Hey, what's going on? Hope you are well. Happy New Year to you. Hope your holiday continues to be a good one. And what is 2023 going to bring for the metaverse space? Well, on this episode, I have some predictions for the upcoming year. Now, just a bit of fun, of course. Some of my readings having been picking the brains of our guests, some of the smartest people in the room over the last 18 months. So we'll see how many of these play out. I would love to hear your predictions as well. Where do you think we are in this space? What do you think is going to happen over the next few months? Do say hello. It's at Luke_Franks on Twitter. All the links and any sources that I mention in the show are in the show notes, of course. This show is, of course, brought to you by the brilliant EveryRealm. And if you're looking for the most comprehensive online learning platform for the metaverse and Web3, you need to check out Realm Academy. And I have a special offer for you. Realm Academy is back with three self-paced modules: Metaverse Foundations, Intro to Blockchain, and Advanced Topics in Web3. And as a listener to this show, you will get 30% off each of these self-paced modules. You'd be silly not to do that. The code you need is FRANKS30, that's FRANKS, followed by the number 30. Just enter it at checkout to save yourself 30%. I'll tell you a bit more about it later in the show, and full details are in the show notes right now. Finally, as always, nothing in this podcast is financial or investment advice. Always do your own research. And with that said, let's dive into this week's episode. All right, so the first prediction is one that everybody's talking about at the moment: AI and it becoming the dominant conversation of 2023. Now, if you've not yet listened to the episode with Nina Schick, who's previously advised Joe Biden and the former Secretary General of NATO on AI, synthetic media, and deepfakes, I'd encourage you to do so. It really frames this whole conversation and what is happening really well. Obviously, AI, deepfakes, nothing new. It's been a story, a journey, something that we've been aware of, but has really burst into the mainstream with the recent addition of ChatGPT, which you may have heard too much about recently. It's been everywhere. Everyone's been talking about it. It is phenomenal. If you're yet to have a go on it, Google ChatGPT. It's like an assistant who knows pretty much everything in the world, and you can ask it to do anything like a human, come up with content ideas for you or copy for marketing, or you can say what ingredients you have in the fridge and it'll come up with a recipe for you. The list is endless. It is blowing people's minds, and rightly so, because it is absolutely wild. But there's plenty more going on as well. We're starting to see other specific models for a range of things, targeted specifically for some of those use cases that I mentioned, copy and marketing and that sort of thing. Also beginning to disrupt music as well. So there's a AI program, a platform called Refusion, that's able to generate music from text prompts based on waveforms, which have a play with that if you haven't already. It's called Refusion. That gets pretty wild. It's in its early instances, but it's pretty crazy. There's already text to 3D as well. So OpenAI, the team behind ChatGPT, have just released Point E, which you can now play with. I'll link it below. Again, very early, but you can write text prompts and it can generate 3D models of those prompts. It's learning all the time, getting better all the time. And it's pretty mind-blowing. And the speed of this adoption is something like we've never seen before. You may have heard the stat that ChatGPT got to 1 million users in 5 days, which is unlike anything we have ever seen before. You've also got Google apparently issuing a code red, whatever that really means, that these models could begin to replace its core search engine model, although Google are heavily involved in the research too, so I'm sure they're up to something. But this virality, this inflection point of it going into the mainstream and people beginning to play with this stuff has really hit recently. And so alongside all of this, we're starting to see more nuanced conversations around who owns what. So if you're a famous artist and someone is using your style as a text prompt to create AI art, probably you should be being paid for that. That's your style, something that you came up with. So understandably, online we've been seeing this kind of kickback from artists, understandably, who aren't getting a fair deal as technology moves quicker than we could really ever imagine. I think this conversation gets supercharged in 2023 when music creation starts getting disrupted as well. Understandably, there's a lot of big questions there. What is creativity? Almost how much can computers be involved? Does it matter if they are? Does it matter if they're not? What do we appreciate? What do humans want? It's these big questions, a controversial discussion that no doubt will grab much of the headlines for 2023, I would guess. And as you kind of think about that more, it seems likely that it's going to be quite important to have a indisputable way to prove who created and owns what in a digital setting, almost exactly like what a blockchain solves. So in my opinion, I think blockchain technology might have just been given its biggest use case ever, or more accurately, people are beginning to realize that as digital creation explodes in a way that is faster and accelerated, accessible to anyone, we need to prove who really created what, who really owns what, whose style is whose, and what can we use. And in our episode with Nina, she talks about a lot of these themes and how previous technological shifts have kind of fit into our sort of current framework of society, how we do things. But AI, it may well force us to sort of create a new framework about how we think about all these things. So a lot to digest there. The episode was one of my favorites this year. It's going to be an interesting year for sure. And I think we're only at the very, very beginning of this conversation. All right, prediction number two, something we've mentioned over the year. And I want to shout out Raoul Powell from Real Vision here as well, who speaks a lot about this, the idea of network effects as things get adopted on the internet. So I saw this most obviously with the YouTube wave that came, the online creation wave. My background is in TV, and I saw that industry get disrupted as content creation became accessible to almost everybody. Everybody could have their own channel. Everyone thought it was ridiculous at first, but slowly YouTube and content creators began to adopt and gain an audience. And the early adopters who kind of reached the top first and continued to provide value past a certain sort of critical point, they've stayed at the top really ever since. So as I say, if you look how kind of YouTube has adopted in a previous internet wave in this way, the first stage was those early creators in the phase where everybody thought YouTube was weird and didn't really understand its value of, you know, how would anyone in their bedroom ever rival what was currently out there or sort of have any real value. And in that first phase where things seem weird and also clunky technologically, it was difficult to kind of get on YouTube in those very, very early days in terms of actually having a camera and uploading stuff. It wasn't a smooth user experience. That kind of adoption is sort of up for grabs in that first stage. But the ones who continually put out consistent, solid content gained all the network effects from the new users who gradually arrived over time, realized slowly that something was happening here and that people could make money this way, and this whole wave of adoption happened. So you look at your kind of top tier YouTubers, your Casey Neistats or your Mr. Beasts from the early days who consistently made good stuff, were there right at the beginning and gained these early followings. Everyone who arrived got shown their channels, and the network effects eventually took over and went exponential, and they continued to remain at the top of the ecosystem, absorbing sort of the new subscribers. Then over time, the YouTube ecosystem began to sort of split into many smaller niches, each providing lots of value for different niches, whether you loved cycling or you loved baking or whatever it is, but never quite at the scale of those top first earliest adopters. They were the ones who kind of were there and absorbed a lot of that network effect. It, of course, is not foolproof. No individual or company or project is infallible, but all other things considered, that's how I observe internet adoption taking place. And these network effects, and lots of other people have spoken about that too. And I think all of this is broadly true of the NFT space as well, especially now that we've been tested hard. You look at Yuga Labs, Punks, obviously, Bored Apes, Amoebits, Artifact, Doodles, Azuki, Artblocks, etc., all being there as the kind of first movers, the early adopters, and the blue chip wave, if you like. Different projects, obviously, from PFPs to art and various other examples I could list there, but were all there at the beginning and have continued to provide value or be relevant in some way. All things considered, I think they will remain at the top. They will continue to hoover up the kind of next wave of network adoption, but probably by opening up access to lower entry prices as part of their ecosystem, a more accessible entry point for newcomers. No newcomer now is going to be forking out the money for a Bored Ape at whatever it's at the moment, but we saw Mutant Apes and then Bored Ape Kennel Club, and similarly with Doodles. Doodles 2 is coming, which their whole mission is to have a really accessible entry layer to their wider ecosystem. So I feel like the same thing is happening here, and it mirrors the adoption of other internet trends from the past as well. So my predictions for 2023 is that those top tier companies and projects will, as I say, continue to gain that network adoption, probably by extending out their collections in a more accessible way, but we'll probably also see other niches gain value. We're going to talk about Starbucks and Reddit in just a second, who've done that really successfully as well. So much like the original YouTubers are still massive, there are now thousands of other smaller niche YouTube channels which are perfectly sustainable and have, you know, lucrative communities and people watching their content there. I feel like that adoption is probably coming over the next couple of years. This show is brought to you by EveryRealm, who are your portal to the metaverse. Now, as a listener to the show, I have an offer for you that you do not want to miss. 30% off the most comprehensive online learning platform for the metaverse, Realm Academy. So if you want to level up quick and learn about metaverse foundations, intro to blockchain, and advanced topics in Web3, taught by leaders at top companies in the industry like Ledger, The Sandbox, and Dragonfly Capital, then Realm Academy is the place to do it. So the code you need is FRANKS30, that's FRANKS, and the number 30. Just enter it at checkout for 30% off. Absolute no-brainer, and make sure you grab it quick. Join tens of thousands of others listeners who've already made their way to the metaverse, just search Realm Academy or check out the show notes for all the links and info you need. And now it's back to the show. All right, let's move on to prediction three then, and Apple coming onto the scene. So there's been many hints and rumors over the last kind of 18 months of Apple entering the mixed reality space, with some sort of announcement coming in the first quarter of 2023. So I'm pulling some of this from a great thread from someone called Hrafn Thorason, who I'll link, and a Bloomberg report as well. Rumors are that the device that they are releasing, it looks a bit like ski goggles in some form. It's going to be called the Apple Reality Pro or Reality One, running Reality OS as their operating system. Likely to be priced between $2,000 to $3,000, with the highest resolution display ever featured in a mass market product. They've also put out various job applications in the past reflecting work in these areas around a 3D mixed reality world. And what I think is the most interesting part of all of this is the suggestion of mixed reality, i.e. being able to be in fully immersive virtual reality or having a layer of additional augmented reality on top of the physical world. And I think in terms of onboarding the masses to this space, augmented reality, i.e. putting a digital layer on top of what we can see in the physical world, is a much simpler step for people in a mass market consumer device, not having to completely change their habits, asking them to remove themselves from the physical world and go into virtual reality if they're not a gamer or somebody who's interested in that technology. To bring that into their everyday life is a big ask, but simply to kind of add to their current experience. So everyone is familiar with filters on phones, some have AR features, and it feels like a lot less of a jump for people who aren't enthusiasts in this space to maybe have a look and start to use an augmented reality headset, a mixed reality headset of sorts. We also saw Meta come out this year with the Quest Pro, which has focused quite heavily on pass-through and augmented reality in this way. I also saw an amazing Mario Kart video recently where you're able to put some physical items in your house and create a track, a Mario Kart track, that is actually physically in your house and then play a video game of it, if that makes sense. So the kid was playing a Mario Kart level of his living room, racing underneath his chairs and various things like that. It was quite cool. So the guess and the prediction really being that I think augmented reality is probably an underappreciated step in the mass adoption wave of the wider metaverse. Apple obviously notorious for products that the average user can embrace relatively simply and that works well. So I think we might see a big shift towards that and lots of people becoming familiar with the idea of new realities in this way. I also played a great sport recently called Hado. This is a sort of dodgeball game in mixed reality. So you're in a physical space. I was on a team with one other person against two others, and I put a headset on where I could see my physical environment, but I could also move my hands to create a kind of fireball, a bit like in the old school Street Fighter. And my opponents had a shield, and I could throw that ball across the room and hit their shields. And the experience of that was interesting for me because it was instantly accessible. I didn't need to care about the metaverse or technology or anything else to be able to just put on that headset, see my environment, and play a game without any training or instruction. So that feels like a way for mass adoption. It was just another anecdotal experience I had, but I feel like that will come for 2023. All right, the fourth prediction on a similar line is NFTs without people knowing or caring that they are NFTs. Now, this is nothing new when it comes to the adoption of new technology. There's a good graphic, a famous graphic, which represents how new technology tends to get adopted. It's a bell curve shape. So it starts at the bottom with the first 2.5% of the population being the innovators, the people that everyone thinks are weird. You could argue that's probably us on this podcast, where we can really think this technology is transformational, but most people either find it clunky or don't care about it or aren't bothered, and we're in that kind of stage or coming out of that early stage. The next increment on this graph is the early adopters, then the early majority, then the late majority as the bell curve kind of begins to turn, and then the laggards on the other side of the curve, and that kind of maps the potential opportunities throughout that. So the race for the most market share right at the beginning, and by the time the laggards join at the end, most of the big established players are already there. That's a familiar story from the adoption of the internet or web 2, if you want to call it that. So I think the general consensus is that we've probably had the innovator cycle. The early Bitcoin story is the beginnings of that, and moving into the early adopters phase, especially when we start thinking about NFTs and wider digital assets as well. And like most new technologies, the majority of people don't really care how they work and won't use them until they stop being kind of clunky or just much simpler, safer, and easy to use, which makes sense. There's less opportunity there, but that is where the majority of people will begin to adopt and use technology. And at the tail end of this year, of 2022, we start to see the early signs of that. Most notably with Reddit, the front page of the internet, the kind of forums and message boards where a lot of internet trends start. They released avatars, which were NFTs, but they didn't call them that. They avoided the words NFTs, which has got a slightly bad tone to it now with some of the hyped or promises that weren't fulfilled. But Reddit also made the wallet creation process so simple that over 5 million avatars avatars were claimed by users, many of the users not knowing or caring that they were NFTs, really. They just wanted the identity and any of the benefits that came with them. That's the move we're seeing, and that's an important part of the wider adoption of technology. Starbucks are also currently beta testing their own NFT strategy, again, avoiding the word NFT. It's called Odyssey, and it kind of sits as an extension of their loyalty program. So it includes coffee-themed collectibles, or what they call journey stamps, which translate into real-world experiences. So you can also choose your avatar and begin to build your sort of digital identity and profile using Odyssey. The in-app experience looks like it's going to be gamified as well, with sort of ongoing record of points and achievements that opens up new experiences and aims to build an online community of others doing the same thing as well. Some of the artwork for upcoming limited edition kind of collectible stamps will also be in collaboration with well-known artists too. So they're playing off the community element, the gamified element that NFTs can bring without anyone really knowing that that's what's happening here, and as just an extension of their current loyalty program. We'll see how successful that is, but we can see the technology is beginning to get embedded without the overbearing mention of any of the buzzwords, blockchain, or the complexity for it to be used for an average user as well. That is a natural trend, and I think a massive trend that we'll continue to see as the next natural phase of adoption as digital ownership finds its place in a whole variety of communities, just like the network effect adoption that we mentioned earlier. So I think that is going to happen, and that is what we are seeing already, and probably the early form of that for 2023. All right, and the final prediction being the Web3 gaming narrative returning. So we've covered this in various episodes over the last 18 months, and in 2021 saw a huge influx of users to games like Axie Infinity, which had around 2.7 million players at its peak. Now, this was early. It broke new ground as a sort of first in its class, experimenting with digital ownership, NFTs in games, and a full-blown economy, which massively benefited and then retraced from the heights as some of the dynamics of that economy clearly weren't quite right. This kind of first experimentation phase, but even now still have around 400,000 daily active users. In fact, in the first half of 2022, the average daily active users playing Web3 games across the whole space, according to Dapp Radar, was around 800,000 players per day, and nearly 60% of all on-chain activity came from games and gaming apps. So this movement has not and is not going away. Gaming, we know, is the biggest entertainment industry on the planet, bigger than music and film put together. Web3 gaming being a very early new phase of that, an extension of what's going on already. And despite the mixed success of some of the early games that likely prioritize the economy over the fun of the game itself, a lot has happened since then. A lot has been built in this bear market already, and the focus has dramatically shifted to the quality of gameplay first, and digital ownership or earning from assets as an additive benefit, along with the bigger themes we've been talking about in this episode. I think we're still awaiting that mainstream breakthrough moment that onboards players who, again, care less about the technology but come for the gameplay first, the sort of Netflix moment where people signed up to Netflix to watch one of the shows that everybody was talking about. I think that moment will come eventually. But there are plenty of major AAA games lining up to do that, to try and take that crown in 2023. Games that we've mentioned in here briefly, I won't dive into here, but games like Alluvium, Star Atlas, Big Time, Life Beyond, Phantom Galaxies, Spider Tanks as well, which has recently entered into the esports realm. And of course, it's not a winner-takes-all scenario here, but it's interesting to look at the stats, see that trend hasn't gone away. It was massively inflated and has corrected, but players are coming. People are actually playing these games. The games are getting much better. They are focusing on gameplay. Games take a long time to create as well. They're not something that you can turn around in 6 months. These take 2 or 3 years, but we will hit that point where there's breakthrough games that people come to. We saw Epic Games Store also having games using NFTs feature on their store as well. So this is all seems to be building. So there we are, a quick episode, some of my predictions for 2023. We'll continue to focus on these areas and dive into everything that happens over the next year. This will be the place to come to make sure you're on top of everything. So I appreciate all your support. Do reach out and say hello. It's at @Luke_Franks on Twitter. Thank you to everyone for sponsoring the show. Have a great rest of your holiday, and see you for next week's episode.